Thank you all for joining the Latin GP call on the 20th of February 2020. In the call, we have Bill, Mariana, Hassem, Matt, Michael, and Bettina. Over to you, Mariana.
Okay, let's try today to make some conclusions or some decisions. As you can see in the agenda, I've tried to make some. I have to find some data. I tried to find some data about usage of browsers and then email clients. And I'm sorry, I couldn't find anything better than I have offered in this Excel sheets. And Michael has some remarks about it. Although I remember that last time we talked about it, Sarmad also offered one list of browsers, which I couldn't find on the internet. So could someone help me with decisions during Brussels meetings? How many browsers should we take into account, and how many email clients should we take into account? Have you discussed this? Michael, please. Then I have Matt.
So we didn't discuss it specifically during our face-to-face meeting, from what I remember. Please, anyone, if you remember differently, correct me. I saw that Sarmad in his notes from, I assume it was Sarmad who wrote it, in the notes from last week's meeting, he mentioned some of those clients I had written in a chat room as suggestion. So I can repeat those. It was Chrome and Firefox. It was Chrome and Safari. And the platforms I suggest as browsers, and the platforms I suggested for testing were Windows 10, Mac OS, should be 10.15, I think, and iOS, which should be more or less the same as iPad OS, as well as Android. Chrome can be tested on OS 10, Windows, and Android. And Safari can be tested on all of these platforms except for Android. Then we can consider if we want to test other browsers too. I think in the chat room we had the suggestions of Firefox, though I'm not sure that they are widely distributed enough. Based on your statistics, I think we also have the case for looking at web clients. So Gmail, for example, ranked highly in your statistics. But we should think if there are any other relevant web-based email clients which we should consider. And for desktop email clients, I think we should look at Outlook, which seems to be probably the number one case, the number one platform on Windows operating systems, but it's available also on Mac. For Mac and iOS, I think we should be looking at, it's just called Apple Mail, right? That was the term. So those are some six suggestions, I think, three browsers and three email clients. And I would suggest we just start with that, unless anyone has objections, and see if we need to add to that. In my email, I also asked about certain email software clients which were server-side installed. So similar as Gmail, I'm aware of systems such as Hort or Groupware and PIM clients such as Roundcube. So I know that, for example, most German universities make use of such systems. So they are still widely used in those contexts. So those are my suggestions, and that's what I remember from the face-to-face meeting. I hope they will get us set up. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Pitinen, please put those sheets on the screen, just for other people to remember what is in it. I think all these client, all these tools, let's say, which mentioned, which Michael mentioned, are also in this, in this in this in these statistics. We have Chrome and Safari on the top, and Firefox also is the third one. But it seems that Chrome and Firefox are taking the most of the market share. And on the other other side, when we look at the email clients, please pick in and just switch the sheet. Oh, it's a little, yeah. We have, let's say, these three, four, also mentioned by Michael. Any other suggestions, please? Mats, go on.
If we look at the browsers again, so the, yeah, the top three are available. Okay, Chrome and Firefox are available on all platforms. Safari is on macOS only. So I know Samsung Internet, I don't know where that is. It's only on Samsung units, I think.
I suppose so.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that Edge and Internet Explorer so far below. I thought that...
But when we joined Internet Explorer and Edge, it is almost 6%. It is more used than Firefox.
Combine them, yeah.
Combine them, sorry.
Yeah, that's true. So, and those two are on Windows only. So we have Safari on Mac only, and we have Edge Internet Explorer on Windows only. But Internet Explorer and Edge are completely different browsers. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. as far as I know, they don't share any code. So I think that we cannot count them as one. So either we test, we select one, or we select the other, or both. But not as combined. So I think it could make sense to include Edge, even though Internet Explorer is the leading one of the two, because Edge is the one that the default browser in Windows 10. Yes.
Do you have something else to say?
No, and then if we look at the mail clients, there is more complicated, because, I mean, to be able to test the Gmail, you need to have a Gmail account, I guess. And Yahoo Mail, you need to have a Yahoo Mail account.
Yeah, I have both, but we have to do...
The client itself can access other mails too, not just Gmail.
You mean it's like the Gmail app it's referring to, or is it the web? I thought it was the webmail.
No, yeah, I mean I think they mean the client, like the Outlook client too.
I thought Gmail was the web solution, and Yahoo Mail also was the web solution.
Web solution, yes. That, as much as I know. Sure. Yeah.
But there is an app for a Gmail app.
Yeah,
which
that's
is a
right.
Client, email client. Yeah. It can access other mails too, not just.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's fine for me as of now. Thank you.
Michael, do you still want to say something or it is forgotten hand?
No, I just wanted to point out about the browser, the Samsung platform. I think it has to do with the fact that we have to look at the mobile devices distributed with people. So on operating systems on computer, people, it's comparatively easy to change the web browser or the email package, the email client. But on mobile devices such as iPhones, Samsung phones, and whatever else is out there currently, most people use the default system, and most platforms don't even support replacing the default system with something throughout. So even if you install Chrome on an iOS device, the engine will still be the Safari engine. They just put a graphic user interface and shortcuts and stuff like this, which look and feel like Chrome. So if we are going to look at less distributed cases such as Edge, because we think it's the default browser on one platform, then I think we should also consider default browsers on other widely distributed platforms. And the Samsung web browser clearly is a widely distributed platform, because I think they're number one in mobile devices sold worldwide before Apple. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Please, Bill, please.
Yeah, I was going to make a somewhat similar point. I think the browser market share is distorted because, at least here, phones routinely come with an Android operating system, as do tablets, which means Chrome is the default. And so all of those mobile devices seriously skew the numbers if we're looking at things like laptops and desktops, which are what people are more likely to use in a work kind of environment. At least I don't like writing documents on a tablet. I'm sorry. So I think that's why Chrome has such a huge share, and it distorts the actual size of some of the others. Similarly, on the email clients, all of those iPhones cause the Apple Mail to look a lot bigger compared to the others than I think is quite warranted overall. So I just want to take those with a grain of salt. Thank you.
Michael, please go on.
Yes. So a suggestion for practical compromise, I think we should choose for one or two of two paths. So either we pick any kind of statistics such as this one, and we go with the most widely distributed platforms. And we choose whatever number we find useful, whether it's top two, top three, top five, or we try to factor that out and put in that grain of salt, which Bill mentioned. And then we also have to consider like which platforms are used on which devices and how much this actually reflects the user community usage and stuff like this. But then there also will be other candidates, I think, which come into play. But this is my suggestion. We should choose one strategy. Either we stick to the statistics as they present to us, or we make more of an informed choice where we add some context to these statistics, just so we make progress. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bill, please.
Yeah, I think as an alternate suggestion, we take the top, say the top three each for browsers and email clients, and then add to those whichever browsers or email clients any of us happen to have on our systems, just to it's a way to expand beyond those top three while without all that much work to go out and try and dig out something. You know, if I've got Yahoo Mail, then it's no effort for me to look using that. If Mariana's got Gmail, it's no particular effort to look at those. It's not like we have to go and find a special system that happens to run Internet Explorer or Edge or something. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. So I think Bill's proposal is very reasonable. Michael, please go on.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to make also a suggestion about the actual approach. So we need to consider whether we need just one sample from a platform. So let's say we want to test Chrome on Windows 10. If it's enough that one member, for example, renders the HTML file created by Dennis on that platform to be tested, or whether we need several members to look at that. And the documentation should ideally be, again, a graphically stable format. So I would suggest creating screenshots for practical purposes. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Mats, please go on.
If any of the email clients are web-based, then we run into the combination of the email client and the web browser. So we have to remember that too.
May I put myself in the queue too? Thank you.
Yes, Peter. Okay, Hazem, please.
I think we should, when testing the mail clients, there are different versions, the mail clients or the web browsers. There are different versions. So either we should decide that we only test the latest version, or I don't know what we should do. Because maybe some version doesn't have the underlying problem and the newer version has it, or vice versa. Thank you.
Thank you, Hazem. Pitinan, please.
Right. I composed a list from our conversation. So let me share and see if this is practical. Okay. So this is, I picked the top three actually from the previous two tabs, but because of the Apple Mails and the mail on iOS is kind of separate. So I make it mail client and web mail, and a few of them. And then on the right is on the different OS. So would this be something we would like to work with, or is it too extensive? And perhaps if we agree on this list, then we can start fill up the names for the one who has accounts or the tool to test for each case. Thank you.
Thank you, Pitin. And Michael, please.
Yes, so Hazem asked about versions. I would suggest we only test latest versions of browsers and combinations, because also another case is we argued that in new or current versions, problems disappear. So if the whole deal about kind of removing underlining as an issue for our analysis is based on newer versions of browsers, operating systems, and so on. So this seems to be something where we should restrict ourselves to current versions. I agree with Mats also that if we test web-based solutions such as Gmail, it will be factorized because we have to look at it on different platforms and different browsers potentially. And as for the summary which Pitinan just showed, I think Outlook, for example, is also available on iOS. However, I don't think we should need to test it because it's not necessarily that widely used on that platform. In the meantime, I think we should go and find out what is the default email client on the Android platform. I don't have an Android device myself, so I wouldn't know. But I think there should be also a default email have on that platform. As for the webmail packages, personally, I think that Yahoo Mail would be a bit too restricted news nowadays to be a particular candidate for testing. And I would suggest that the group voice their opinions on those other packages I've mentioned in the email. So for example, Horde would be one candidate, or Roundcube would be one candidate, because those are basically self-installable web-based email packages which run on private servers, which render many of these. So those are web-based clients, Horde and Roundcube. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Mats, please.
Yeah, when it comes to version, I don't think that it's possible for us to test the different versions of them. I mean, if we can get the latest version, we should be happy about that. And when it comes to the suggested mail clients, I don't know, Horde and Roundcube, it could be quite complicated to get those, or couldn't it? And they haven't showed up on the list. So the question is if they should be included. I think they, Pidden, they should be under webmail, just as Gmail and Outlook.
Okay, got it.
Yes, I tried to say the same. They are web clients.
And I think, I guess that the mail client, the default mail client under Android, isn't that Gmail then? Isn't that what they call it?
This is Pitinan. I have some input for the Samsung phone. So the Samsung internet, this one, is the default for any Samsung Android. I'm not sure about the other brand.
Do you also know
every brand has its own email client, I think.
Sorry, Hassan, can you come again? And then maybe Matt again. Sorry.
I have a Huawei, and it has a Huawei, another mail. I don't know if it's a Samsung or a Huawei. It's not a Samsung, but I tried to look at it now. It doesn't say where it comes from, but it's an email client for the Huawei.
All right, I see. Mats, please.
Well, I have a Samsung unit, and it doesn't have the Samsung browser or Samsung email as default. It has some Android mail, and it has Chrome as default. So maybe it depends.
Possible, yeah.
But I think that we should add mail clients, and I don't know, we could call it Android default and ticket for Android. No, not browsers, mail client. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Bill, please.
Yeah, I understand the attraction of only going with the latest version, but I have some reservations because I'm thinking of the our experience over the IDNA 2003 versus the more recent one, and I think we ought to at least check whether the most recent version of one of these is in fact getting taken up by a significant number of people, or whether there are a lot of people who just aren't making the effort to get the latest version. They're just sticking with what was there long past the time that there was a new version, or possibly even multiple new versions. It may not be a problem, but I think we ought to at least make some effort to check and see how how much uptake there is of whatever we decide is the latest version on any of these. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I have Mats, please go on.
Yeah, I understand what you say, Bill, but it's very complicated and complex to get different versions of the clients. So I think it would be tough to have that ambition. I'm not against testing older versions and different versions, but I think that it will take too much effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Mats. Bill, please.
Yeah, we're going to have to document which versions we looked at. If we can only look at the latest version, so be it. Although I think we may find for some of them that it's easy enough to look at an older version simply because one of us happens to have the older version. I'm pretty sure I've got an older version, for instance, of Yahoo Mail on my system just because I haven't bothered to go through and update it. But I think we're going to need to make sure we've documented clearly which browsers, which emails, clients we've looked at, and on which version of and which mix and match of versions. Otherwise, someone coming along later and looking at it will have difficulty figuring out what it is we actually looked at. Thank you.
Hazem, please.
Yes, I think we can only document the versions we are working on because they keep on releasing newer versions and subversions of the software every now and then. So during we are testing, they can release another version. So I think we can only document the version we are working on, but not keep on with the latest.
I also think that it is very difficult to cope with all the versions which might be used by users. So we have to somehow narrow our choices and work with the versions which we have on our equipment. Mikhail, please go on.
Yes, thank you. Personally, I also think it's difficult to test across different versions. Also, you should consider that most platforms nowadays automatically self-update. So if you run Chrome as well as Firefox on any platform, they will automatically self-update whether you want it or not. So it's kind of difficult actually to stop. Secondly, I think we need to document which version we are testing on. Simple solution might be just to show the about window as part of the screenshot we are creating, so there's clarity on what we're testing. And thirdly, I just was researching about the mobile email clients on mobile devices, and the default on Android seems to be Gmail, which is also the reason why Gmail ranks so highly in that mail client list. So there seems to be a conflation between Gmail as in the mobile client application as well as Gmail, the web app. So this is one issue which I see in these statistics. So we shouldn't rely too much on the exactness and representativeness on these statistics maybe. And secondly, I saw that the default email package on Samsung devices is also called Samsung Email. I wrote the names and the URL where I found that into the chat box. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I'm not clever enough to find the right way to encompass everything we discussed now. We have to start, let's discuss before final conclusion. Michael, why do you think screenshots are for presenting the results are better than production of PDF? I don't know. I'm just asking because I'm not very familiar with it. I don't even know how to make screenshots, but probably I will find a way. Michael, please.
Yes. PDF should be doable theoretically. However, PDF is a print process. So if you have a print process, you can't see the browser bar to document what you are showing. You can only document the window. Also, PDF needs to be set up correctly. So it needs to embed fonts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you have a screenshot, it's a graphics file. You don't have to care about any of these. And you can make the rectangle any way you want. So I personally find it more practical, because the file size will be smaller and it's more stable and less platform reliant, because you can also find rendering issues in PDF depending on which viewer you use on which platform. And lastly, graphics files are easier to embed into our
data
files, such as the report, rather than PDF. It's very difficult to embed the PDF. I think the only way is actually by printing it into a graphics file again.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I only see advantages for graphics files.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, you helped me a lot because I was not using screenshots, and that's why I'm asking. But what you say, it is much more reasonable to use print screens, because it shows exactly what is on the screen, and forget about PDF. That's because I'm a little bit old and I'm used to old tools. Sorry for this. Thank you, Michael, for this. Thank you. So we shall use screenshots. We have to document versions of the tools which we are using. So now we have to, let's say, somehow make any decision which products shall we test it. And also, I might need some help how to put, let's say, XML or whatever in mail client. Shall we use copy and paste or some other techniques? I'm not quite sure. I've tried something, but I'm not sure it is okay. Any idea? Michael, please go on.
That should have been old hand, but I didn't understand your question, Mirjana, so I don't know how to answer.
My question is, okay, when I have a browser on my computer, I can open XML, which Dennis prepared, and that this data will be presented in the browser. That's clear. How shall I open XML in browser? In webmail and in mail clients, how shall we put this data, which have been produced by Dennis, in those applications?
I can make a
should
suggestion.
Should we do copy and paste or some other way? It's not clear in my mind. Any idea?
I can make a suggestion.
Please
so,
do it.
My understanding is that Dennis produced an HTML file, and the HTML file, if you have it on any kind of platform, you can open it directly in the browser. So
yeah.
There is no issue in testing it and testing browsers this way. You just go ahead, open the HTML file, skim through it, and make a screenshot where you can see what's being rendered, how it's being rendered, and maybe also where you can see the version of the browser or something.
Yeah, that's clear.
As for the mail clients, I think the easiest solution is simply taking the HTML file, embedding it into an HTML email, and sending it through the Latin GP. And then anyone can go and open that email. And in the moment they open the email, they already should see the rendering of those strings being tested within the HTML file, rendered on whatever email client they're using. So you just send the HTML file as an email to the list and everybody has it. It just shouldn't be an attachment. It should be the body of the HTML-based email.
Yeah,
That's my suggestion. Thank you.
Sorry. Will you? I didn't catch properly the end of it. So we are not sending HTML file as an attachment.
Then... Okay. So emails can be either plain script, plain text.
Yeah.
So that's a term I think used. Plain text, or yeah. They can be HTML based. Most modern web, most modern email clients support HTML. Based clients, because okay. Only those offer the opportunity, for example, to insert hyperlinks and stuff like that, or put formatting or headings or any of those kind of formatting. So basically any kind of formatting of emails is based on HTML. So you just take the HTML and copy it as an email and send it to the list, so then everyone should have it, I think. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, it's not completely clear to me, but I will test it and say what is not clear to me now. I have to try it, you see, because.
Sure, let me know if you need help.
Yes, I will probably need help, because all those things which we are talking today should be put in some in a small, let's say, we shall, I have to prepare, or someone has to prepare a small explanation how to do those things, that we all do the things in the same way, you know. Mats, please go on.
With a web browser, it is, as Michael described, quite easy. When it comes to email, I think it could be more complex, because there's a risk if we paste things into the mail client that things are distorted, so that we don't compare things in the same way. The best thing would be to compose an email to make sure that it really is embedding that exact HTML content into the email, it's very possible if you know how to do that and access to the low level. So at least I could make a trial of doing that and then sending it as an HTML email with that exact content and not going through some pasting.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we paste, then it's kind of that it would be interpreted by the client how that should be interpreted and that should be represented. It doesn't have to be the same. If we compose the email and send it out, it will be exactly the same thing for everyone and all tests.
I still don't know how to compose the email and use the data provided by Dennis, but probably you know how to do it, and we just need a small explanation how to do it.
Well, I mean, it's more complicated, but you compose a file with the email headers. Okay. And send it through an email server at the low level directly to SendMail. Then you can compose it so that you have 100% control of the content. So you act like a manual email client using an editor and SendMail.
Sorry. Probably please try to do it, and if I don't understand something, I will ask again, because it is not clear to me how to put the data. I just, on my mind, I have only copy and paste, and I feel that is not the right approach. So
I will make a try. and see how things turn out.
Yeah, please, please, Mats. Because we need to clarify how to put the data and in an email. And it is also okay to send it to Latin GP with some subject, which explains what is in this mail. And then we shall have right data. Everybody could see what is in it. Bill, please. Thank you, Mats.
And since Mats apparently knows how to do this, it occurs to me he could just do it, send it to the list, and then if we want to try it on additional clients, et cetera, we can just forward that appropriately. So if he sends it to me, it goes to my email, which is Yahoo, as it happens. But I can then turn around and forward that to my Gmail account, and there it would be without anybody else having to figure out how he did the original stuff. If that's possible, I think it would save you, Mariana, and probably the rest of us a whole lot of grief if Mats can do that. Thank you.
So if I may add on there, if it works as I hope, I should be able to send that the same content to any address that you request for. And then it will make sure that there is no modern client that changes things. So it will be exactly the same content.
Okay. So, Mats.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mats. Michael, please.
Yes, so I understand what Mats is trying to suggest. I think the simplest solution would be just to the email you're going to compose based on the HTML code. So basically what you do is you paste the HTML code into the body of the HTML email. And you use a client which does not manipulate that. I understand what he's trying to do. So if you send that Latin GP, then I think it's already settled because everyone is on the newsletter and everyone will receive it and can then forward that email to any other external email, which we may or may not need for testing. And we can open up that email on any kind of device and any kind of mail client and application. Thank you.
Pitinan, I'd like to add.
Pitinan, please.
Right. Thank you. Just to point out that for the webmail, we probably need to test different browsers as well. So for example, this role for Gmail in Windows 10, we might have to test Gmail on Chrome, Gmail on Safari, on Firefox as well. So it's more cases than this. Thank you.
Sorry, Pitin, and I didn't catch what you have said. Sorry.
Okay. I mean, if we test the webmail thing, we actually have to test different OS as listed here. And yeah. We also need to test in different browsers. So it can be Gmail on Chrome, on Windows 10, or Gmail on Safari on Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this role has to be more than just one role.
Yeah, Gmail with Chrome and Gmail with Safari and Gmail with on Firefox, and also maybe Outlook. No, Outlook also the same.
Yep.
Different web. Yeah, different webmails on different with different browsers.
And for the webmail, do we test on iOS and Android because it's on the mobile? I don't think we have to, but what do you think?
Michael, please.
Yeah. So I think for mobile platforms, we don't need to test the web clients because they are not really used that much.
Yeah.
People use the default mail package, which is installed on those devices. I also think that this will permutate and multiply because we have to test the web package on different browsers on the same platform. And therefore, I would like to suggest that we restrict ourselves for webmail to two candidates maximum. So Gmail plus something. From my understanding, Outlook is not used that much. So maybe it would be good to have the opinion of the group, for example, what they think about those self-installable mail packages such as Hort or Roundcube, if others also think they should be tested. Then personally, I would vote for testing Gmail and, for example, Roundcube because they are the most popular from my understanding. But maybe the group doesn't think those need to be tested. From what I know and I remember, a lot of small, medium enterprises have their own mail software which they install. If you get your own domains, you always get either of those packages, for example, together with your email. And also a lot of not-for-profits make use of those. So a lot of universities run their whole email systems on Roundcube and set up these email clients for any kind of student, any kind of staff automatically. So I would be interested to know what the group thinks about Hort and Roundcube and similar installable PIM or email packages server side running like Gmail. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Hazem?
Yes, Outlook webmail is used on if you have an Exchange server, mail server, and want to access it from a browser, it is the Outlook webmail. Just saying, not just for mailboxes of Hotmail and Outlook. And so any Exchange server has a webmail side of it, which you can access. Thank you.
I must say that I have not heard about those two mail clients. Michael has mentioned before a few moments, but someone who is using it, I also have Outlook, not on the Mac platform, but on Windows platform, and it is regularly used in the company which I am affiliated. With which I'm affiliated, so I can test Outlook on different browsers. For example, I have all the tools installed and everything updated and everything is up to date, let's say, last versions. But for these two, I have no opinion really, because I have not even heard before Michael mentioned it for those two web mails. I don't mind if we include them, but someone has to volunteer to install it and test it. What the other people think, but we have to test at least two webmail clients, just not to stay only with Gmail. I don't know. Michael, please go on.
Yes, I posted some information about Roundcube to the chat box. So this is just a Wikipedia article on the software. And as you can see, it's installed across a number of international universities. They are listing ones from United States, Norway, UK, India. So as I said, a lot of non-for-profits use it as mm-hmm. default email package, which they can deploy without costs because it's open source software. But it's also used by commercial companies. So many hosting companies offer it as free email package to clients, right, which they don't need to pay for. So HostGator, Media Temple, and others use Roundcube. They install those for any client who wants to get a domain and domain services for free together with it. So mm-hmm. people set up their web pages, for example, using something like WordPress, And for email services on any kind of domain they book, they usually get Roundcube or some other similar package, which usually would be Hort. Hort, I think, is very popular in German and European contexts, and Roundcube is the more modern thing, but it's limited to email only. Hort is like a complete PIM system, so personal information management, contact management, calendar management. So it's a fuller package. So this is why I mentioned Hort, because the Roundcube and Hort, because they are used in a lot of universities and a lot of domain sellers and resellers offer these packages as default system.
Okay, any other opinion?
I'd like to be in.
Yes, please, Bettina. No one is on the queue. In the queue.
Yes. Just wondering the question to Michael, do you have an account on either Roundcube or Hort to test? And then we can decide on that. But also in another point is I do have a Roundcube account, but it's on one of the mail client, which is set on top of the Roundcube open source package. So I'm not sure is it, I'm not sure if the test result will depend on how they set as well, which is not what I can control. But basically, if Mats can send out the email with the HTML embedded in the body to this mail account for me that run on the Roundcube, if nobody has the account, I can provide the test result as well if we decided to include it. Thank you.
So I do have a Roundcube-based email for one of my university access. It's University of Düsseldorf. They use Roundcube as email system. So I can test that there on the platforms I have access to. So I obviously, I don't have Firefox. I can test on Chrome and Safari. I don't have Hort. I don't have a Hort-based email. I don't know if anyone else uses this package. As I said, it's popular in German countries and European contexts. So maybe Michael or some other user, some other member from Europe will have an email based on it.
Okay, we are almost at the end of the hour. Let's leave Hort and the Roundcube for now, like this, and think a little bit about this, but about webmail, we have now only Gmail, and should we take into account Outlook or not? Because it seems to me that the browser and mail clients are, we have decided what to test. Bill, please.
Yeah, from me, you're going to get a Yahoo Mail on both Windows 10 and on Android, simply because that's what I've got and what I use routinely. And I think that's got at least as much use as Hort or Roundcube, for all that they may be popular in some universities. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Michael?
Well, I think if what Hazem said, that Outlook is the default webmail package sold for any kind of Exchange customer, and it's not just a free mailer, which I used to believe, then I think we should test Outlook, because Exchange services are one of the two most sold kind of domain services revolving around PIM, like the Gmail, or the Google Apps system, together with Exchange, are the two main competing platforms which people pay for to provide like personal information management services and systems on their domain to their users. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry. Okay, at least we have now... let's try to conclude something today. Hazem, please go on.
Yes, I just want to correct what Bettina wrote. It's not outlook.com. It's it's Outlook. I think it's just Outlook. Because it's always OWA. Always you have the past with OWA at the end. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Hazem. Now, we have this test case which Pitinam provided in the same data set, in the same Excel table, which is now on our Google Drive. So please, how shall we organize? We have to see what someone can do, I mean. We have to volunteer let's say I can make a test of Chrome browser on Windows 10 and Mac OS and Android also. I have some Android phone. Safari, I can test on Mac OS. On iOS, I don't have it. Firefox, I can test also on Windows 10 and Mac OS and Android, I can install it. Mail client, I can use Apple Mail, IMS Outlook. I cannot use. We have to. My idea is to organize the thing in the way that we do not have to install anything new on our computers. Just let's try to somehow organize who can do something. And I have no idea in this moment, sorry for it. That's why I'm a little bit angry because I have no idea Bill, please.
Yeah, I can do Firefox on Windows 10.
Okay, let's look at this table and send let's offer what someone can do. And after that, we can make some kind of arrangement who will do something to distribute the tasks more or less evenly. Michael, please go on.
There are more comments for Pitinan in the chat box in case you haven't seen it. Mats said something, Hazem said something, and I said something. Those are additional things for the list. And I can volunteer to produce screenshots for Chrome and Safari on iOS. Let me see what else. I can volunteer for Gmail on Chrome and Safari on macOS.
Let's not finish it this moment because we are over the hour. So please, looking at this table, send your offers to the Latin GP and list, and Pitinan and me, we shall try to divide the tasks more or less evenly to the people who volunteered to be included in this tests. And also we have Mats to send some kind of explanation how to include those data in email client to get the right results. Bill, please.
Changing subject entirely. For the agenda for next time, I think we need to talk at least briefly about what we want to have in our presentation for the upcoming meeting. It's only at that point going to be a couple of weeks away. So if we could talk about that next time, I think that would be good. Thank you.
You are talking about icon 67 or whatever is number.
And the one that is no longer in Cancun.
Yeah, I've seen the messages today that it will be only online meeting, no traveling to Cancun, and probably not all. They will try to make a new plan for the meeting, and a lot of things will be postponed. Only the most important only I have the feeling that we shall not work as we have worked in live meeting, during face-to-face meeting, that probably a lot of actions will be postponed for later. So I'm not sure. You are talking about presentation for this, or I have misunderstood something?
No, if the session where we were going to give that presentation isn't happening, fine. But hopefully by next week, the situation will have clarified a little bit.
Yeah.
But if we do still need to do one, I think we need to talk about what we're going to put in it. That's all I was trying to say. Thank you.
Okay. I have noted your suggestion, and we shall see. Is there any sense to talk about it next time, or probably all the sessions when this presentation should be given will be canceled? You see, that's how I understood what is going on about all this next ICANN meeting. Okay. So we have a few things to do. Please volunteer what kind of platform and what kind of tool you can use on this platform. And for the next meeting, we shall have tasks evenly divided between people, and we can start producing data.
Oh, hi, this is Vivian. So before we leave, just to let you know that this Excel sheet on the screen is on my local machine. I somehow haven't been able to edit on the one in the OneDrive yet. Google Doc yet. So I will ask permission from Mariana, and when it's ready, I will send an email out for everyone. Thank you.
Yeah, please send this document to LatinGP list, and I will see what is going wrong with Google Drive, whatever it is there. Okay. At least we shall have this document in email, and you can send your offers. What you can do? I think any other business, anything new to add? We are 8 minutes past the hour, but at least we made the progress. And if there is no other points to discuss or to add, I will close the meeting. I shall close the meeting. So we have a few things to do for the next meeting and to prepare how to proceed with this analysis. And I want to thank you all for your discussion and for today. And I'm now closing the meeting, and I want you good rest of the day. Okay. Hear you next Thursday again. Goodbye, and
bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.